471, Section 2, The Final Days of the War and a New Day for West Virginia. As you read, look for the location of the final fighting in West Virginia, the final steps to West Virginia statehood, terms, cabinet, proclamation, capital. Although West Virginia's statehood movement had received a major boost when it passed the scrutiny of Congress, it still needed the approval of the president. As the statehood bill raced toward resolution, the Civil War was entering its last stages in Western Virginia. The final conflicts in the region focused on the control of the B&O Railroad. The battles for control of the railroad. Union forces held the upper hand at the beginning of 1862. The new commander for Western Virginia, General John C. Fremont, decided to attack the rebel forces in the Valley of Virginia. He moved his troops by way of the B&O Railroad from New Creek Station, now Kaiser, into the valley. When Fremont's forces were badly defeated by the army under General Thomas Stonewall Jackson, the Union general resigned his command. Union forces soon regained control of the railroad and set about protecting the repaired B&O, which had been reopened on March 30, 1862. For the next 6 months, there were only brief interruptions in service. In September 1862, however, General Jackson made a move toward Harper's Ferry. On the way, Jackson destroyed the track around Martinsburg. In October, the Confederates gained control of the rail line again and destroyed over 35 miles of track. They also burned engine houses, stations, blacksmith shops, and other B&O property. They even destroyed the rails on which the trains ran. After ripping the rails loose from the cross ties, they set the ties on fire. Then they heated the rails over the flames and bent them around trees. The Jenkins Raid. While the battle for the B&O raged in the eastern panhandle, a daring plan developed by Confederate General William W. Loring tested Union forces in the Kanawha Valley. Loring sent General Albert Gallatin Jenkins, a native of Cabell County and a Charleston lawyer, on a cavalry raid. Cavalry are troops on horseback. Since he had served under both Floyd and Wise in 1861, Jenkins was familiar with the area. What was to become known as the Jenkins Raid began on August 24, 1862. Jenkins, leading nearly 600 cavalrymen, left Salt Sulphur Springs in Monroe County. He rode through Beverly, Buckhannon, Weston, Glenville, Spencer, Ripley, and finally Ravenswood, where he crossed into Ohio. He then traveled south and recrossed the Ohio River south of the Kanawha. Returning to his native Cabell County, Jenkins followed the Guyandot River to Raleigh County. Along the way, Jenkins confiscated $5,525 from a Union paymaster in Ripley and captured 300 Union soldiers in Spencer. His most important seizure, however, was 5,000 stands of arms at Buckhannon. A stand of arms is a complete outfit of weapons for a soldier: a rifle, powder, mini balls, a side arm, and a bayonet. Jenkins' raid alarmed the Union forces, making them realize how weak they were, while pointing out that the group organizing a new government in Wheeling was virtually unprotected. On the other side, the raid convinced Confederate General Loring that he could take the Kanawha Valley. As a result, he attacked Union General Joseph A.J. Lightburn at Fayetteville on September 10, 1862. Lightburn retreated, leaving thousands of dollars of supplies behind. Charleston fell to Loring 3 days later. Because Loring did not take advantage of the situation, Union troops soon regained control of the territory. Loring's hesitation after his initial victory caused him to be removed from his command. Lincoln's Dilemma. Having cleared Congress, West Virginia's statehood now depended on President Lincoln. This was not an easy decision for the president, who worried that the bill might not be constitutional, permitted by the U.S. Constitution. Lincoln sought the advice of his cabinet, the group of department heads chosen by a president as advisors. His cabinet, however, was of little help because they too were divided over the issue. The final decision, then, rested with Lincoln alone. President Lincoln wrestled with the facts. He believed the new state was constitutional because the people of the state had voted for it. Even if the people in the seceded state of Virginia had not chosen to vote, Lincoln stated that it was the qualified voters who choose to vote that constitute the political power of the state. The president also believed it was a good move by the federal government because it was a time of war. Lincoln rationalized that actions taken in wartime would not necessarily be taken in times of peace. Some opponents had charged that the statehood bill promoted secession. After all, wasn't West Virginia seceding from Virginia? Lincoln, however, replied, "There is still difference enough between secession against the Constitution and secession in favor of the Constitution." On December 31st, 1862, the president finally signed the bill, but the issue was still not completely resolved. Since Congress had amended the original bill by adding the Willie Amendment, the West Virginia Constitutional Convention had to vote on the revised bill. After much debate, the convention accepted the amendment on February 18, 1863. Now the amended bill had to once more be submitted to the people for approval. Before the scheduled vote on March 26th, Senator Carlisle again tried to defeat the bill. His efforts, however, were unsuccessful as the voters followed the advice of Governor Pierpont, Senator Willie, and a member of the West Virginia legislature, Peter G. Van Winkle. On March 26, 1863, the voters approved the bill by a vote of 26,632 to 534. President Lincoln was informed of the vote on April 16, 1863. 4 days later, he signed the proclamation, an official or public announcement, that admitted West Virginia to the Union. 60 days later, on June 20, 1863, a 35th star was added to the flag of the United States. The Jones-Imboden Raid. Two Confederate generals, John D. Imboden and William E. Jones, led the last major action of the Civil War in Western Virginia. The Jones-Imboden Raid, which took place in 1863, had three objectives. 1. To overthrow the restored government of the state of Virginia in order to stop the West Virginia statehood movement. 2. To completely destroy the usefulness of the B&O Railroad. And 3. To acquire supplies and recruit troops. Because General Lee was planning an invasion of Pennsylvania, the Confederates desperately needed men, horses, grain, and food. General Imboden left Staunton on April 20, 1863, with 3,400 troops and traveled through Beverly and Weston. Along the way, Imboden captured Buckhannon, but Union forces at Clarksburg and Grafton stopped him. In the meantime, General Jones headed for Moorefield and Terra Alta with 2,500 cavalry. Although unable to gain complete control of the B&O, Jones's cavalry did create panic and destruction across the northern section of Western Virginia, all the way to the Ohio River. Jones's troops inflicted over 100 casualties and destroyed a bridge across the Cheat River at Albright, but they failed to destroy the longest tunnel in the world at Tunnelton. At Fairmont, Jones burned Governor Francis H. Pierpont's private library, but he could not capture Waitman T. Willie because the senator fled to the safety of the state of Pennsylvania. Jones and Imboden met on May 2nd at Buckhannon. The two raiders then decided to head back across the mountains. They split up, agreeing to meet at Summersville, As they marched, Jones destroyed part of the Northwestern Virginia Railroad between Parkersburg and Grafton. His troops also burned 150,000 barrels of oil at Burning Springs in Wirt County. The Confederate raid was a military success. The two generals took 700 prisoners, 3,000 cattle, and $100,000 worth of horses, mules, and wagons. M. Bowdoin and Jones destroyed two trains, 16 bridges, one tunnel, and several engines. The raid did not, however, achieve the political objective of overthrowing the restored government of the state of Virginia and thus stopping the West Virginia statehood movement. Finally, statehood. 1 month before West Virginia became a state, leaders held a convention in Parkersburg to nominate state officials. The convention nominated Arthur I. Borman of Parkersburg for governor, Samuel Crane of Randolph County for auditor, Campbell Tarr of Brook County for treasurer, J. Edgar Boyers of Tyler County for Secretary of State, and A. Bolton Caldwell of Ohio County for Attorney General. All of these men were elected without opposition on May 28th. By the end of May, three judges had been elected by the people. 2 months later, the judges met in Wheeling and organized the highest court in the state, the West Virginia Court of Appeals. With the establishment of the court, all three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial, were in place. One of the first actions by the legislature was to select West Virginia's first two U.S. senators, Waitman T. Willie of Monongalia County and Peter G. Van Winkle of Wood County were chosen on August 4, 1863. Governor Borman called the new legislature into session on June 20th at a temporary capitol, a building in which a legislature meets, at the Custom House in Wheeling. The first state legislature included 20 senators and 51 delegates, none of whom were Democrats or Republicans or members of any other political party. All members were simply pro-Union. Both Governor Pierpont of the restored government of the state of Virginia and West Virginia Governor Borman spoke at the opening day of the new state legislature. Governor Pierpont cautioned West Virginians to guard their freedom and be, quote, free from all the shackles that shackle me, unquote. Governor Borman listed the reasons for the formation of West Virginia. In his opinion, West Virginia was the child of the rebellion. His main desire was to advance the new state to a point of respect. Borman also spoke of the integrity and loyalty Pierpont displayed in resolving a difficult issue. After the creation of West Virginia, the restored government of the state of Virginia had to find a new place to conduct business. Pierpont and the other government officers moved to Alexandria, Virginia, where they took one final action in regard to West Virginia. Berkeley and Jefferson counties were given permission to vote on joining West Virginia or staying with Virginia. Both counties chose to join West Virginia, bringing the total number of counties in the new state to 50. Five other counties were added later, created from larger counties. The war moves out of West Virginia. After the Jones-M. Bowdoin raid, General Lee moved into Pennsylvania, where the Southern forces were defeated at Gettysburg on July 3, 1863. After that time, except for battles around Salem and Droop Mountain, the Civil War passed from West Virginia. Droop Mountain, where Union General William W. Averill defeated Confederate General John Eccles on November 6th, was actually one of the largest battles fought in West Virginia. Over 7,000 troops took part in the fighting, and there were over 400 casualties. For years after the battle, many Civil War veterans met to reminisce. One of those veterans, John D. Sutton, was a private during the battle and a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates in the 1920s. In 1927, he persuaded the legislature to create a commission to study the possibility of commemorating the battle site. The recommendation of the commission resulted in the creation of Droop Mountain Battlefield State Park. The park, dedicated in 1928, was the first West Virginia state park. For most part, West Virginia's role in the war after 1863 was political. The formation of the new state, which resulted in the division of the most powerful state in the Confederacy, was a tremendous psychological blow to Virginia and the whole South. During the Civil War, an estimated 10,000 West Virginians served in the Confederate Army. West Virginia provided an estimated 32,000 regular troops to the Union Army, 212 of whom were blacks. Another 2,300 blacks served in the state militia. One of the volunteers, Major Martin R. Delaney of Charlestown, received an appointment from Abraham Lincoln in 1865, making him the first black to become a major in the United States Army. A number of West Virginians lost their lives during the Civil War. Of the 3,224 who died fighting for the Union cause, 820 were killed in action, while the remainder died of accidents, wounds, or diseases. There are no reliable estimates, however, as to the number of those who lost their lives on the Confederate side. Reviewing the section. Reviewing the content. Number 1. What was the importance of the Jenkins Raid? Number 2. What was the last major Civil War action in West Virginia? Number 3. When did West Virginia officially become a state? Using the content. Write a letter to the editor advising President Abraham Lincoln to approve or deny the West Virginia statehood bill passed by the United States Congress. Extending the reading skill. Write 10 opinion statements found in the reading of Section 2. Tell why each of these statements is an opinion. The following is a chapter summary of Chapter 12. Section 1. Early events set the stage for big changes. Many Western Virginians believed that Virginia's secession was illegal, and as a result, they had the right to establish a new government. The fighting at Philippi is sometimes considered the first land battle of the Civil War. The Second Wheeling Convention adopted a resolution restoring the government of Virginia to the Union. Francis Pierpont was elected governor of the restored government of the state of Virginia, and John S. Carlisle and Waitman T. Willie were elected to the U.S. Senate. The victory at Rich Mountain allowed the restored government of the state of Virginia to operate safely and to push for statehood for West Virginia. Confederate general and former Virginia governor Henry Wise defeated General Jacob D. Cox at Scary Creek. But his retreat to Gauley Bridge allowed Cox time to receive reinforcements and pursue the Confederates. The Second Wheeling Convention passed a regulation to create a new state to be named Kanawha. A battle at Kessler's Cross Lanes is known as the Battle of Forks and Spoons because those were the only weapons the Union troops had in their hands at the time of the attack. The Battle of Carnifex Ferry was important because it marked the last significant fighting in the Kanawha Valley in 1861. Robert E. Lee's horse Traveler was bred in Greenbrier County. Delegates to the 1861 Constitutional Convention faced three issues: the name of the state, the boundaries of the new state, and the question of slavery. Eastern counties in Western Virginia were added to the new state because of the importance of the B&O Railroad. On May 13, 1862, the General Assembly of the Restored Government of the State of Virginia authorized the creation of the State of West Virginia. The Willie Amendment to West Virginia's statehood bill helped it gain congressional approval. Section 2. The Final Days of the War and a New Day for West Virginia. The fight to control the B&O Railroad took place in the Eastern Panhandle. The Jenkins Raid gave the Confederates needed weapons and exposed the weakness in Union forces. Confederate General William Loring then attacked Charleston, but he was removed from his command for not taking advantage of the situation and allowing Union troops to regain control of the area. On December 31, 1862, President Lincoln signed a bill to make West Virginia a state. On April 16, 1863, Lincoln signed a proclamation that admitted West Virginia to the Union 60 days later. West Virginia became a state on June 20, 1863. The Jones and Bowdoin Raid was the last major Civil War military action in Western Virginia. The raid was a military success, but fell short of its political objective of overthrowing the restored government of the state of Virginia. Arthur I. Borman became West Virginia's first governor. The Custom House in Wheeling became West Virginia's first capital. After West Virginia became a state, the restored government of the state of Virginia moved its offices to Alexandria, Virginia. Droop Mountain was the scene of some of the last fighting in West Virginia. Martin Delaney was the first black to become a major in the U.S. Army.